Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen!
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And it's time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know in 2021.
We made it!
New year! A couple of royal reminders before we dive in. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. You can also subscribe to the podcast and leave us a royal rating of 5 stars, pretty please. Send us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Roberta, how was your holiday?
It was so nice. I consumed all the content. I watched so much. I actually watched the first season of Broadchurch. Have you ever seen
Broadchurch? No, I've never seen Broadchurch. What is it about?
Olivia Colman is in it.
Oh, that's...
Which is why I wanted to watch it. It's a murder mystery, and it's so good, and I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
I actually need a new show, so I'm going to add that to my list, my queue. I was deep in Bridgerton.
Oh, yes.
I've DM'd you about it like so many times already. You're like,
I can't
are you
wait to start. But I'm so glad you gave me the heads up not to watch it with my parents.
Yeah, it's very, very sexy is the best I can say. But oh my gosh, I actually started watching. I watched a couple episodes slowly and then I hit like on once I hit like episode 4, I was like, I got to finish this tonight. So I was up until like 2 a.m. just finishing it. I was like, it's too good.
I can't wait. Everyone's talking about it. It looks
so good.
How was your holiday?
The holiday was good. It was just like, I think it was just so nice to kind of have a moment, especially the fact that our company closes and we have the break. Actually, we have a full week off at our company. It just made it really nice to kind of marinate and catch up on all the sleep a little bit.
Yeah,
that we've lost this year.
And I actually achieved my 2020 resolution, which was read 12 books. I really I was a dark horse for finishing it because I was 3 books short by 4 days out until the new year, and I finished 3 books in 4 days.
What did you read? What were the three?
So one was a young adult novel. I think it was called In an Absent Dream. That one wasn't as good, but I read Margaret Atwood's The Testaments, which is the follow-up to The Handmaid's Tale. That one was so good. I highly encourage everyone to read it.
Oh, my gosh. Reading is my big, like, goal. I've been actually, since the new year hit, I've been reading before bed. I'm reading Cobble Hill, which is a testament to my neighborhood in Brooklyn. So,
oh, that's right.
Oh. So that's my on my nightstand right now. But
anyways, it makes you miss it.
It makes me miss it. Yeah. But what a nice break. I hope everyone had a nice, restful moment for themselves, at least.
Yes.
But so much to talk about on this week's episode of the podcast. I feel like Harry and Meghan were really in overdrive while we were like in between. I was kind of like, wait, guys, all of this in the last week of the year. But we have a royal recap of what happened over the holidays, plus Archewell's official launch. On a sadder note, I feel like we're all following the news this week about the UK going into another very strict lockdown and cases are rapidly rising there. So we're thinking of all of our listeners and hoping that everyone is staying safe and following precautions and all that stuff. But a lot ahead.
Yeah, I feel like it's also here too. It's you know, cases rising in. I feel like the news is just getting harder and harder to read. So I feel like it's always darkest before the dawn. And hopefully soon, you know, we'll get those vaccines. I know my parents are waiting to get the vaccine. They're both over 65. So here in Florida, I think they're able to get it now and they've signed up, but there's like so much chaos with appointments and stuff.
My two aunts just got it in the last 2 weeks. So they're on the
road.
Good. Yeah. It's rolling out very slowly, but hopeful as we head into the new year.
I know, same, trying to stay hopeful. Well, I am sipping today. We have our royal refreshment.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
And mine is LaCroix.
So I stuck with you on this. I'm doing a cranberry sparkler from Ocean Spray.
Non-alcoholic, mind you. I needed a break from
all
the booze.
I know, but it still felt a little festive because it had some bubbles. So anyways.
Cranberry too. Very festive. All right. Well, we have a lovely reader email from Sonia in Minnesota. She wrote us, she said, "So much to say. I tend to get wordy, so I'll try to keep this under control. I'm so glad I found your podcast. I love how you present the royal news without being judgy and choosing sides. I often finish listening to an episode, then go back and listen to it again."
That's like the nicest thing I've ever heard.
So nice. Such a compliment. She said, "Though I don't have Netflix and don't watch The Crown, it boggles me how so many people have never heard of Charles and Camilla's affair while Charles was still married to Diana. The way they carried on the relationship and how their friends would host parties for them and loan them the use of their country homes was deplorable. While the show is a dramatization, it does include facts. It took them years to repair their image, and now they will have to ride this out. I guess since I'm the same age as Diana, I could sympathize with her, as each week there was a new article in People magazine about the shenanigans going on. Best, Sonia in Minnesota." I feel the same way about The Crown in a way, because I do think like we knew all of this going into it. And maybe it's, you know, I think the uproar about this season is just that some people really didn't understand the extent of the affair and the timelines.
Yeah.
I think there, you know, obviously there was a lot of assumptions made on Peter Morgan's behalf about when all of that took place and what they kind of said behind closed doors. And I think that's what people mm-hmm. take issue with. But such a good point, Sonia. I feel like we all knew about it.
It's really true. And I think your point about being the same age as Diana and watching it play out in People magazine simultaneously, like for different generations too, it's like we didn't – I think watching it in real time is what is so gutting, you know, to really see the extent of it, fictionalized or not, you know, and be reminded of it. So,
and I think Emma Corrin, I always say this, but they do just do such a good job. And Josh O'Connor of you know, making you get emotional and making you really feel the emotion come alive on screen. And I think that's what it really, you know, kind of touches you as the viewer.
I know. I actually have to say that I was watching the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas moment that Charles aired on Christmas Eve. And it's hard for me to watch Charles now without getting flashes of Josh O'Connor. Like they just – Josh O'Connor really got it right, so –
he did a good character study. Also, I have to say that Sonia had a PS that she loves the photos of Finn that Aww. You post on Instagram, which was really sweet.
That's so kind. Well, thank
and she
you.
Said we didn't have to read this letter on air, but we did. So thank you so much,
Thank you
much,
for writing
Sonia,
in. Our Christmas wishes came true. Yes. Well, This Week in Royal History.
And now, This Week in Royal History.
We're kicking off the year with Kate Middleton's 39th birthday.
Happy birthday.
My card is in the mail, FYI. I did mail that mid-December.
You're so good. You are so good at
I have their birthdays
remembering.
In my calendar like I have my son's. So messed up.
I should not be surprised.
I mean, I always actually really enjoy writing them like a lengthy note too. I don't just write like I've said
That's
this before.
Really
I don't just
nice.
Write happy birthday. So because they're
really
quite
nice.
Inspiring individuals.
It's
for
like
me.
A form of therapy.
It
almost,
is
like cathartic to like get your thoughts on
it
paper
is.
And send
so,
it away.
Well,
That's
and I
awesome.
Think I've you know I've read in the past occasionally and we saw on The Crown whether it was true. I mean, it is true that Diana occasionally would write back to letters that she felt you know compelled her to so. I always keep that in mind. Like, what if Kate was like, this letter is so good, I'm going to write Rachel back today.
I bet their team pulls out certain ones and reads and has them read them, actually. So I'm sure that they've come across
it's
those
worth
letters
the effort
that
is all
you
I'm
put.
Saying.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that totally could happen. I hope she reads it.
Yeah, me too. Pipe dreams. So the Duchess of Cambridge, though, as we were saying, turns the big 3-9 on January 9th. Catherine Elizabeth Middleton was born in Reading, Berkshire, a town in southeast England. We are very familiar that she's the oldest of three kids. Pippa was the second born, and then James, Roberta's love of her life. Kate, as we know, is also a commoner, and her parents met while working as flight attendants at British Airways, which I always think is such a fun detail, and they founded Party Pieces when Kate was 5. Kate met Prince William in 2001, and the rest is history. We also have to mention the fact that they're celebrating 10 years of marriage this year, which is...
Ten years.
That went by in a blink.
It really did. It really did. They have, I feel like, so much to show for it. Also, though, so last year's birthday we have to bring up because
– Well, that's
it was
all I can think about, right?
It was the day after Prince Harry and Meghan announced that they were stepping down from their senior roles.
Yeah, and I was
wild.
Looking back at sort of the coverage of her birthday from a year ago where it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's Kate's birthday. But that, like, mic drop of Harry and Meghan's news was like, you know, we had all this, like, sort of royal, like, social media rollouts to wish Kate happy birthday, but it was really overshadowed.
Totally overshadowed. I know. It was – not the best birthday present, yeah. I think, to have that timing. But it is crazy that that also is 1 year ago on Friday that they announced that. So major bombshell announcement.
Yeah.
But they did wish her a happy birthday in a comment on social media.
Yeah.
So, but
you know, they're still family. But I guess Kate, supposedly from everything I've been reading, is that she's pretty low key about birthdays. I think in the past she used to kind of go out and party, as we all did when we were youthful, had more energy, but now she's much more like doing kind of something low-key with the kids, which actually fits in with a lockdown. You know, she doesn't probably potentially didn't have big plans, but hopefully William got her a wonderful gift, as she so deserves.
And that sounds kind of lovely. Like, I don't know about you, but for New Year's Eve, like, kind of just keeping a low profile and drinking champagne on the couch is actually like so refreshingly nice to just relax.
Totally.
And hopefully she has, you know, a family-filled birthday.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this week's news up first. We have so much Archewell news. We had the holiday special of the Archewell audio podcast launch. We also had the Archewell website rollout and the announcement of a big partnership. So we have to catch up on all of this over the holidays. The holiday special, the podcast. So good. Let's roll the clip.
What a delight to continue to have them in our ears. But let's roll the clip.
You can speak into her.
Archie, is it fun?
Fun.
Off to me. Ready? Happy?
What? Happy?
New?
New?
New.
Yay! Boom.
That laugh. Oh, that. Both Harry and Archie's laugh. It's so good. It's so good. I feel like they had to, like, after the David Attenborough thing with the Cambridge kids and hearing their voices, they had to kind of, you know, up the ante a bit and have Archie on the podcast. So I love
kids' voices, the Royals kids' voices. More of that in 2021, please, because that is incredible. Like, it's just this dopamine rush for all of us.
Totally. Little baby Archie. Yeah. So cute. I do think that moment, though, got the most press coverage. Obviously, everyone was freaking out about hearing Archie's voice since we really haven't seen him in so long. Besides, you know, the illustration on the Christmas card, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what was your favorite part besides that, Rachel?
So I actually really liked the actual content of the podcast. I feel like it opening, I was like the day after New Year's, and I was like, I guess New Year's Day. And I was just cleaning, and I threw it on to listen to the full thing when I finally had a moment to. And I liked the opening where it was like 2020, the year that ... and all the guests filled in the blank, because I think everyone's answer was optimistic and kind of more hopeful and looked at it, you know, glass half full. Like people said, we stopped taking our existence for granted, that empathy showed up on every corner of the planet. And for me, I think because I'm just like, ugh, 2020 so often, it kind of was a good reminder to try to see those moments. And I liked that they kicked it off that way. That felt somewhat surprising. But I also just like the stories. I mean, I think hearing Rachel Cargill talk about what she went through and how her mom got that terminal cancer diagnosis and what that meant during COVID. And even just Jose Andres talking about his restaurant closings and having to inform his staff. Like, it just – I really liked the actual content of the podcast. But what about you? Besides Archie, what stood out? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think – I loved that they played the Kingdom Choir's Little Light of Mine at the end and said, you know, how much this meant to them. And they played it at their wedding as they walked out and how special that was. And you could really feel the kind of passion they have for that song and the message that it shares. And Megan even quoted Martin Luther King Jr. when she talked about that. She said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can. So I thought that was really powerful. And also, so I have two favorites. Also, the Hussein Manowar poem.
Yes.
It was so good. It was like artistic and wonderful. And you know, Megan said, we have to play this in full. We can't, you know, cut it or splice it or anything like that. It was that good. And I totally agree.
I felt like it gave me chills. I completely agree. It was beautiful.
And then we also had Archewell.com.
Wait, I was just going to say one other thing. Sorry, real quick about the Archewell audio special. Because I was reading, you know, a lot of publications in the UK actually reviewed the podcast special, which of course they did, right? It's like they gave it stars. Like, that seemed aggressive and negative and stuff.
Wow.
But one thing that I did feel, and part of why I think the Archie moment was so particularly joyous for me, was that it felt very unscripted. And I think that this first episode felt very scripted, and everyone kind of recorded audio diaries versus being
separately.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't there wasn't a lot of candid conversation. And like, I mean, you and I know firsthand that it's really incredibly hard to do a podcast. Like, we definitely spent a lot of time preparing for it. And I hope that in future episodes, we do get more of those Archie moments or more of those candid, just like more flubs, more tangents, all that stuff from them. Because I love hearing those little, like even their teaser for the podcast was felt full of that. So,
or their interjections too. Like, I think we talked about this, but how at one point Megan says like, oh, he's being so modest. He says he's a writer, but really he's the author and bestseller and publisher of all these books. And I feel like that, even just those snippets into their character and how, you know, their conversation between each other is so good. And I think you and I talked about how when we talked about the podcast at first, we said we really wanted to see more insight into their lives. And I think that's the only way we'll really get it is in these little snippets, which I'm happy about because I do think hearing from other voices that they want to spotlight and hearing from all these guests, there was Brené Brown, Rachel Cargill, Deepak Chopra, James Corden, Elton John. Like, it was so incredible to hear them all together. I think no one like the Sussexes can bring those people together in such a way. Like
I almost wish that they had also answered the questions too that they posed to everyone else. Yeah, you know, like that's something true. Like that. But overall, this is not a criticism. It's just more like I'm hopeful that we will get so much more of them because I love having their voices in my ear.
No, but I think that's good feedback. Maybe they can start to do that in future episodes. Like, how would they respond to that prompt? Because it seems like they sent out a prompt to everyone. Everyone recorded on their own, sent it back. Mm-hmm. They put it all together, and it turned out really wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move on?
Yes. Move on.
Archewell.com now live. It launched December 31st. Yeah, they were very busy at the end of the year. So first impressions, Rachel.
I mean, it's very sleek, very sophisticated. It
feels very influencer-y.
Yeah. I think one of my, you know, the big things that I noticed was just there's no follow us on social media. And that's something that, you know, in Megan's conversations, I think it was with Fortune, right? That she said that it's, you know, for self-preservation, she's staying away. She quit social media. So that being absent, there isn't a way to follow them in that way. You have to sign up for their emails. Yeah.
There's the so the site encourages involvement only through a submission form. So the submission form says, how do you activate compassion in the world? We want to hear from you. Tell us about how you or somebody you know acted with compassion in the last year, or describe when you felt connected with your friends, family, or community despite the distance. And it's not clear how they would use these stories and how, you know, if they gather them, will they then reach out to certain people and who they really I think that could be a possibility for Archewell.
Think that part was also really cool because it's like the thought that your good deed could be, you know, Harry and Meghan could call you. What an incentive to continue doing good work.
Exactly. And the podcast is going to do exactly that. So why not crowdsource those stories? It's really incredible. It seems like their slogan is definitely compassion in action. That's repeated a couple times. They say, at Archewell, we unleash the power of compassion to drive systemic cultural change. So that's kind of their mission statement. And there's three sections that launch with the website. So there's the Archewell Foundation, which is a 501c3. There's two creative arms of their Archewell website. There's the Productions, Archewell Productions, and Archewell Audio, which we're already kind of both familiar with. The Productions is obviously the Netflix project that they announced in September. And then so back to the foundation. So there's all these partnerships that they unveiled within that. So there's Tristan Harris's Center for Humane Technology, Rachel Cargill's the Loveland Foundation, and a partnership with World Central Kitchen with Jose Andres, who was on the podcast, as we mentioned. So the World Central Kitchen is what I feel like was the biggest piece of news because they're really directly partnering. The other ones, it's unclear how Archewell will kind of work with those two, you know.
TBD maybe, yeah.
Yeah, or a few. There's a few. There's more than two other partnerships. But World Central Kitchen, Archewell Foundation will be providing the financial commitment to build 4 community relief centers in regions disproportionately impacted by hunger. So the first one is the Commonwealth country of Dominica, and the other one is Puerto Rico. And these centers are going to be permanent. They're going to be emergency service kitchens during times of high need or disaster. They'll also be food distribution hubs, schools, clinics, or safe community gathering zones during non-disaster times. And this is just the start, which I think is incredible. So Bloomberg also confirmed that they're bringing in even more partners to build these relief centers around the world. And as we mentioned, Jose Andres was on the podcast. He talked about the big pivot that his, you know, foundation or World Central Kitchen has done, Chefs for America, Restaurants for the People.
Yeah. They've
been able to kind of hire workers that aren't able to, they're either the restaurant's struggling because of COVID, and provide meals to people who need it most. So I thought that was really incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I was blown away by all of these kind of announcements in the past week. They really are doing such good things, and that's really inspiring.
There's so much too. I feel like we just like scratched the surface of how many partnerships and things are going to accomplish in 2021. Like, it's really exciting to know that they're going to work with the Loveland Foundation, with Rachel Cargill, and all these different people. So I'm really excited. But really,
I was just going to say, they really had 2020 to build up. Like, that's what's kind of been cool. Like, it's like while all of us have been at home, they also have, and they've had this sort of hibernation period to really spend the time to thoughtfully do, like, launch everything. So
yeah. So
ending the year with a bang.
Right. Because COVID, I think they did kind of retreat a little bit and work on this. And now that they can unveil, it's probably like,
they could be a lot more thoughtful potentially than rushing it. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I do think, though, I have to say, a dream collaboration would be a Meghan Markle, Jose Andres cookbook.
I mean, I support that. I would obviously pre-order that.
It has to happen. Yeah. It has to happen. We do have to talk about, because this got a lot of coverage, that there's no mention of Prince Charles on the site. So they have a poem that says, "A letter for 2021. And it says, I am my mother's son and I am our son's mother. Together we bring you Archewell." So a mention of Diana. There's also a photo of Diana and Harry and a photo of Doria and Meghan. But what do you think about the absence of the royal family?
I mean, I definitely thought about it. I think that from a branding perspective, I mean, Diana is the worldwide people's princess, humanitarian, and that's likely who Harry wants to align with. I mean, Charles is definitely philanthropic, but I feel like Diana's—
When I first heard this, I was like, I don't even think they have to justify that.
Yeah, choice. I don't think so either. You know what I mean? I don't think so either. And I feel like but I do feel like Diana's legacy of humanitarian work was cut short. And so I like sort of the tie-in that he's like continuing that. But yeah. I agree. I don't think this is something that needs explaining. Because then you could be like, well, why didn't he mention this person? And why didn't he,
Right.
Well, you're always like, leaving someone out, you know?
And I think the chasm between Meghan and her father is so huge. And to even bring up Harry's father, like in a way, it just, but it's like exactly as you said, like there's just not any reason to even
there was,
dive
of
into
course,
that.
I mean, gosh, the tabloid stories this week in general, I was just like floored by.
I know. I didn't even think twice. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. What
I did
sweet
too.
Sentiment,
I love the photos too. Yeah. I think someone said, maybe it was Elizabeth Holmes, that it's like, I just wish that they were a little like you could see them more. Like it's so, they're so faded in the background. I'm like, I want to zoom in on all the little details.
Some sleuths on the internet, though, found them and posted the actual photos.
Oh, really?
So that was really enjoyable to actually see them.
I need to look that up. Okay, please do.
I'll send them to you.
Yeah, I missed that.
I want to just mention one last thing is that their one-year review is coming up. It's supposedly in March with the Queen. And, like we said, we don't think there's any chance they even want to be senior working members of the royal family. But it is interesting that they have, in a way, distanced themselves from that. Metaphorically, in this website.
I mean, I actually was doing a lot of thinking about this aspect of it because it is coming up. It's like in March, I think, which is the end of the royals' fiscal year, I was reading. But I feel like this, I still think what we said before, it's like when they exited last January, it was such a rush announcement. Like they really, pulled the rug out from everyone. Even their website launch, like nobody was aware of that. So I think that this one-year review is more of a chance to kind of update and tweak things, not like you guys need to come crawling back, which I think people kind of are, of course, the internet is saying like mean things about that. I think it's just much more of a chance to be like, well, maybe we should review the thoughts around, Harry's military titles or their patronages
or their involvement in ceremonies like that. Yeah. I think that was a big thing this year, was them not being allowed to be involved in Remembrance Day things.
Yeah.
And I think that will, like you said, need some tweaking or they'll be able to hash out some sort of, middle ground that they both are happy about.
So. Exactly. One last thing I uncovered, though, in my research about this, do you know their website, thesussexroyal.com, is still live?
No.
Isn't that weird?
Wait, really? Should I go to it right now?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was only looking it up because
that's weird that they didn't
like,
take
sort
it down.
Of opus that they wrote, they mentioned the one-year review kind of a little bit like as an annoyance because other royals haven't had to be like they're subjected to something like that when they didn't maintain their titles.
Right.
I don't know. I just think it's funny that it didn't like go offline when Archibald.com went live or something.
I'm really surprised that it's not taken down. That is interesting.
Yeah. It's we'll a beautiful website.
Yeah, it really is. Over it, guys. Nice. It just feels like an archive, though. It feels like we're looking back in history. So that's weird. Really interesting.
It's very weird. Anyways, so much Sussex news. But also happened during the week, the annual Queen's Christmas message, which was apparently you could listen to it on Alexa. I didn't try it. Did you, Roberta? Did you do it?
I didn't try to listen to it, but I saw that and everyone was like, oh my God.
I mean, that's awesome because sometimes it's hard to find really cool. When you're in the U.S. So even for anywhere in the world, you can say, Alexa, play the Queen's Christmas Day message. Now my Alexa is going to start typing in right now, but it's pretty cool.
Everyone's Alexa if they listen to it out loud.
Yeah. That's so funny. Her speech was filmed in the green room at Windsor Castle, where the Queen, as we know, spent Christmas alone with Prince Philip. And that was underscored by there was just a single shot in the frame in the camera view of Prince Philip in a photo.
I actually really liked that. I think, you know, last year caused a lot of controversy with Harry and Meghan being left out of those frames. And I do think that that was kind of nice to just highlight Prince Philip.
Totally.
Since they have been through so much this year together by each other's side. I thought that was sweet.
I think it was very, slimmed down and appropriate. So we're going to play a quick clip from the speech.
Of course, for many, this time of year will be tinged with sadness. Some mourning the loss of those dear to them, and others missing friends and family members distanced for safety, when all they'd really want for Christmas is a simple hug or a squeeze of the hand. If you are among them, you are not alone. And let me assure you of my thoughts and prayers.
She's so comforting. I can't get over it, right?
I mean, it really is. I agree. Yeah. It's so good to hear her speak. And there's just something so soothing about just her stoicism as a monarch. Mm-hmm. Nothing seems to affect her. There's not a lot of emotion, but the words that she speaks convey a lot of emotion, which is interesting.
Yeah. And she also looks great. Like, I just feel like she's coming up on 95 in April. Like, I just feel
it's incredible.
It's incredible. She looks so well. And I don't know. I loved her Angela Kelly purple dress, and she had a brooch that was the Queen Mother Diamond and a Mother of Pearl shell was the sort of makeup that was made in 1919, and it was apparently worn frequently by the Queen Mum, including on her 100th birthday. The Queen Mum lived to 102, which is wild.
I have a feeling Elizabeth's going to do the same. I feel like long live the Queen. She looks incredible.
She looks incredible. But it just was, it's just so comforting. Also, I really did enjoy the aspect of the speech that at the end it had the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS choir singing Joy to the World at St. George's Chapel. Singing does make me kind of COVID nervous because I think it's the least safe thing to do no matter how.
Surprised they were inside today. I guess it's too cold to be outside, but still.
Hopefully they were COVID tested or something. Yeah. But I loved that, and that made me super teary. But a fun fact is that did you know that Justin Bieber is also collaborating with the NHS choir? He just released a holiday tune.
Very interesting. Please? The Queen and Justin Bieber have this is the only connection I can think of, honestly.
Yes. Cue it up. It's actually really good. The song is called Holy. So that was kind of a fun thing. But what did you think of the speech? Great. Did you we talked about it a little, but
I liked it. I thought there were a lot of, and I know she did this last year too, but a lot of biblical references, which, and a lot of parables. Like she talked about the Good Samaritan and she talked about baby Jesus. And she often mentions, you know, kind of the Christian foundations of Christmas. But I thought it was more prominent this year. And I kind of think it's maybe like a little bit of an insight into how she's been almost coping with COVID and leaning on religion a lot, which I think, you know, some of us have done or found other ways, you know, to kind of cope with everything that's going on. But that's definitely probably one of the most popular is kind of turning to religion. And so she definitely does that and mentions it quite a few times. So I thought that was,
you know, it's very inclusive too. I definitely really liked that.
Oh yeah. And she mentions a lot of other religions too, which is nice. Yeah.
No, I liked that. I also thought it was kind of cool how like multimedia savvy it was this year. We had like, I feel like everyone's gotten pretty good at the technology. So we saw like, as she was speaking, we saw clips of, you know, Kate and William's engagements and Sophie's engagements and even some photos from Hold
Anything
Still.
Other than a straight video, we're like, ooh.
Ooh, way to go, guys. Yeah. Multimedia, which is like one of the most dated words ever, but it really felt that way. So, but I thought it was a nice nod to Kate's project that she included hold still photos as well. I really liked that. The one of like the in the chapel with all the you know, printed yeah. photos of the churchgoers and things like that. I just really liked that.
And the PPE, healthcare workers in PPE, I thought was really, like mm-hmm. a lot of those I really recognized because Kate had highlighted them a lot as well.
Yeah. So. One thing I did want to ask you, because I saw this on CNN, but have you heard of this like deep fake queen or like the, I guess Channel 4 every year since 1993 airs an alternative Christmas message immediately after the Queen's
what?
Speech? I didn't know this was a thing at all, but apparently this year it was about fake news. So they used technology and an actor and they like dress someone exactly as the queen.
I've heard of deep fakes. I know that that's like when you make someone look like someone else and it's really believable.
Yeah,
and that's
it was
like a
it
thing.
Looked so much like the queen. You can watch it on YouTube, but it's basically where instead of like the sort of very, you know, what we expect from the queen, it's like, well, this year was really difficult and Harry and Meghan chose the Canadians over us. And then the queen even learns a TikTok dance in this video.
It's, no.
It's very weird, but maybe worth a watch. I don't know.
Now I'm just curious. Now I definitely
have to watch it.
You
have to see it. So anyways.
Oh, my, the queen on TikTok.
Yeah.
2021. I have hopes for
it. I know.
And probably hold my breath.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? She also gave a New Year's message on Instagram, which is unusual. That's not something she typically does. And she referenced her speech from April when COVID, we first went into lockdown, saying we should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, we will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again and we will meet again. So those words always are, you know, they have a lot of meaning. They're poignant.
They're really powerful. I think, it's nice that she, you know, nodded to the – and the pictures she chose, too, were really nice.
Yeah.
The Tom Moore knighting and then that picture of her and Prince Philip looking at the homemade anniversary card, wasn't it?
Yeah, which was
a
big moment. I loved
which
that.
Which was really sweet. And more I think that was such a good selection.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. The royals spent Christmas in a variety of ways. So the first was this, you know, early on piece of news that we didn't quite get to cover in our Christmas episode, but it was that – the Cambridges and the Wessexes kind of broke a COVID rule when they united for this Christmas-themed woodland walk at Sandringham.
Yeah, it was kind of controversial.
Yeah, it really was. It was the front page news of a lot of papers over there. So this Christmas-themed woodland walk, say that five times fast, is called Luminate. And it looked actually really cool.
Yeah,
it's like a lights show outside. It was outside, we have to say that. But there were nine of them. So William, Kate, George, Charlotte, Louis, and then Prince Edward, Sophie, Lady Louise Windsor, and James Viscount Severn. Nine people. They obviously, you know, didn't, or I shouldn't say obviously, it was reported that they didn't plan to arrive together. They actually arrived separately and they weren't kind of supposed to be mingling, but they said because of the kids, it was really hard to keep their distance. And I feel like I
agree
totally
with that. Like,
this.
I feel like that aspect of it, I kind of can believe that they really weren't intentionally breaking a law, but like with kids, like I can't keep Finn away from other kids. Like it's like
right.
they just all end up mingling together. It's like they just don't understand it. So
and especially like their cousins. Like I feel like if they don't see their cousins that much, hardly ever this year, and then to see them and kind of, I know I'm close with my cousins, and so I think that would be so difficult to see them but not talk to them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it just probably happened. But I do think it's not the best like example. But I think again, you don't expect. I mean, it's like people are everywhere with cameras now, so
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
And the rule is six, and there were definitely nine, and six is including kids, so they definitely broke that rule.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. You know, it's hard when people think there's separate rules for royals versus the public, you know. So, but I did have to mention that Kate looked stylish. All we saw was the back of her head, but she's wearing a fedora. And I thought that was like not Kate's style really that we see much of. So I thought that was really fun. I hope she breaks that out next year.
Yes.
Also, we had a Meghan and Harry sighting early on December 20th in Beverly Hills. They were casually strolling about. They actually were leaving a large building that E! News says holds a lot of businesses, including, reportedly, a medical spa. So who knows what business they were going to, but that's one of the – it's a popular spa, I guess. I'm not sure the name of it. But it was funny to me because they were dressed for completely different climates. Meghan was wearing a fur-lined J. Crew parka, and Harry's dressed in a T-shirt. They're both wearing masks, which was good. I thought that was really great. But it was so crazy. It's like this Cali girl in 50-degree weather is like, oh, got to bundle up. And then
it reminds me of my sister, because
doing?
My sister's in the L.A. area, too. And it's just so funny because she'll cut when she comes home to the East Coast, and it's like 65, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I need a wool sweater.
Well, that's me because I'm a Florida girl, right? So I'm like – anytime it dips below 60, my parents are like, we have to watch the weather report tonight. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so they're, Harry and Meghan are settling in nicely to how it all works, right? They're,
yep,
they're back to their definitely. California roots.
And then one last thing from the Duchess of Cornwall. So she announced that she has a book club. The Duchess of Cornwall Reading Room was announced over the holidays. I'm getting, again, major influencer vibes from this move.
I
think
like
that
this.
A royal-themed book club is so fun and something that, you know, Rachel and I kind of wanted to start with this podcast, but I think, you know, with
– in our spare time.
Camilla handling it,
yeah,
that's
Camilla's
fine.
Got it covered. Yeah. We'll join hers.
Right, exactly. So the mission is to discover new books and meet the extraordinary people who create them. She already has her first author interview down. So the first interview was with Charlie Maxey. The interview is about his book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And the illustrations in the book are amazing. It's
I have the book.
Touching.
You do? Yeah. So I've been following that guy for years because my close Instagram friend, Julia Roberts, mentioned it a long time ago on her Instagram, and I was like, I loved the illustrations and sort of the messages behind it. It's
really
beautiful,
sweet.
And actually, you know, I agree with that interview because during lockdown, it was a book that I actually pulled out and have been reading a lot with Finn, and it's beautiful. It's really fun, and he likes the animals, so
I want to get it for my niece. I think mm-hmm. who's
yeah,
about
it's
to be
so
two.
Cool. She'll love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first season of the book club, they say, starts January 15th is what is on the Instagram. So not far off.
For
next
once,
week.
I'm already ahead on a book club. That never happened.
Yeah. So true. Gosh, I need to catch up already. And what about the rest of Christmas? What do you think how the royals spent it?
I mean, I think it felt somewhat like, you know, they were all on their own, right? My favorite part of it, truly, I mean, whatever you feel about Charles and Camilla right now, I loved the Twas the Night Before Christmas reading. I
yes.
thought that was such a delight. And I loved the actors they pulled together. They're like, you know, Shuti Gatwa from Sex Education, which Roberta
oh
and I love.
God,
like,
so
I just
good.
Love him. And Daniel Craig, who seemed to be, I love because he lives in Cobble Hill in Brooklyn. I feel like I sort of loved that he was maybe recording from home, Zooming. So I just kind of loved that he was the only one because everyone was in, like, had this gorgeous Christmas, like,
setup,
like, majestic backdrop. And he was just, like, on Zoom. But
selfie.
Yeah. But it was an awesome, awesome video. And that was really fun. I loved how they did that.
I watched it a couple times and I actually played it for my parents because I thought they would love it. And it's so nice. All the actors they pulled together are incredible. It's like.
And it benefited the Actors Benevolent Fund.
That's right. That's right. Yes. So that was good. It was like tied to a.
But I feel like
cause.
They were all right at their lonesome this year.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, Harry and Meghan, their second Christmas actually now away from mm-hmm. the royal family. I think they. You know, we know they picked out their own tree. We know Meghan has a knack for decorating the home. I'm sure that their home looks beautiful for Christmas. I'm assuming Doria was there with, you know, her grandchild. So I think that they probably enjoyed it. And Kate and William did the same. And, you know, besides that one outing, they pretty much stayed
Everyone,
in.
Yeah,
so,
stayed in. So
just like all of us.
All of us. Yeah. But a lot happened considering
a
it
lot,
was,
a lot.
You know,
we feel so relieved to have caught up. Now I feel like
it like bothers Roberta and I when all this breaks and we're like, where's the, we have to wait till the new year to report about it and talk about it officially.
We have to bite our tongue until then. All right, well, before we adjourn the Royal Pod, here are our highs and lows of the week.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
Yeah, so my low just broke today, which is that the palace canceled all 2021 garden parties. So at, you know, that's just, I feel like, as we said, the lockdown, I mean, they're in lockdown till at least mid-February now in the UK. So that's a really sad thing. I mean, the Buckingham Palace typically welcomes around 30,000 guests to there and also the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh combined. So I feel like it's just... I don't know. That's a bummer. I feel like it also doesn't bode well for all events going forward.
That's what,
like,
I was going to say.
Trooping the color, things like that. Like, what will
the
that
Diana
look?
Statue. The Diana statue is supposed to be unveiled in the summer. And these garden parties are usually in the spring, right?
Yeah. So spring,
yeah, so
summer,
it's like,
yeah, I think.
Kind of.
Maybe just
know,
the
but
spring,
I guess,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess because it's so many people, it makes sense. And I think, you know, with vaccine rollouts taking quite a while, I think it's, you know.
And I guess it could turn around, but it was a low for me, so.
Yeah, definitely a low. Well, my low is that Prince Louis's nursery start date is delayed. Mm. So he's 2.5. He's actually supposed to start this month at nursery, but he's probably not going to start until the summer term, which actually is in April, the end of April. So he is thought to probably attend Wilcox Nursery School when he starts in the summer, which is near Kensington Palace. He could attend Westacre Montessori School, where George went, and that's actually really close to Anmer Hall. It's a 20-minute drive. But this is a bummer. I feel like that photo of Charlotte for her first day of Wilcox Elementary School with the red coat and red shoes is like the cutest photo of Charlotte I've ever seen, and we won't get that for Prince Louis, at least not right now.
Yeah.
And Charlotte and George will be homeschooled as well, so they're going to be until Thomas Battersea's opens up, which they were supposed to return to this week as well. So,
well, my high of the week, I'm a broken record, is Bridgerton. I just can't get enough. Roberta, please prioritize it this week. Please write us if you're watching it. It's royal
pinky
and
promise. I'm holding up my pinky in the Zoom.
Okay,
right,
good.
Now.
This is kind of a royal adjacent high, but I just feel like it's such a good show. And Regis Jean Page, who plays the Duke of Hastings, I just loved. He did a little mini interview. I don't even know where the interview, the source of it, but it was posted. If you're a diehard Ro-Ro fan on the Facebook page, where he said he was asked if there's a member of the royal family he could kick it with, he said, for sure, Prince Harry. So maybe there's an Archewell audio collab coming up. I mean,
nice.
Harry, make it happen, but it's a total high. Watch the show.
You know, I'm such a big fan of Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice.
Yes,
I know that I'm going to freak out and love it. That's
so you have
why
to, like,
I'm delaying
keep it,
it because I'm like,
right,
I know that it's going to be like full on, like I'll finish it in a night. So I'm kind of just trying to like.
It'll be Bridgerton obsessed, not royally obsessed anymore. It's so good. You will die.
We're changing the name.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. This is our new Ted Lasso of 2021.
It is.
All right. Well, my high, ending on a high note, the Christmas card. So we didn't get a chance to see Meghan and Harry's official Christmas card before we left for break. And we have to give this so much breathing room because, oh my gosh, it is so cute. The illustration. So I guess they took a photo and then had it either converted through some kind of digital program or had an actual illustrator do it. But it's Archie, his red hair, the playhouse is so cute. It was reportedly taken by Doria, Meghan's mother, and it was debuted by Mayhew Animal Welfare Charity, which is one of Meghan's patronages. We also got official confirmation of the Cambridges Christmas card and the Wales' Christmas card. The Cambridges was released after our episode, but someone pointed out that they were appropriately casual. That's why there was no, you know, clothing to be ID'd or anything like that, which kind of makes sense in COVID times. I think that was a really smart move for them to feel more relaxed and not about what they're wearing or, you know, spending money on a new outfit for the Christmas photo. I thought that was really thoughtful, but the thing that could be ID'd was those cute little Penelope Chilvers boots that Charlotte wore for a Mommy and Me matching moment, which was amazing because we know that Kate loves Penelope Chilvers.
Yeah.
So that was adorable. And they had ruffled blouses that matched under their sweaters, which was cute. But what did you think of all those cards?
I just loved it. I think it's just so unexpected to, you know, I was not expecting a card from Harry and Meghan. So it was a definite high.
It was. And they're going to replant the tree, they said, that little tree that Archie helped decorate, which I thought was a really sweet thing to include in their note. But yeah. And to see Archie after so long, he's so big and has so much red hair, it seems
so
like.
Much, yeah. Well, based
so
on
exciting.
The illustration, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah
cute.
Exactly. All right. Well, just a reminder before we close, leave us a royal rating on Apple Podcasts. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and the Facebook group Royally Obsessed. You can follow us personally. I'm at Robbie Frito.
And I'm at RKB NYC.
Until next week.
God save the pod. I almost said God save the Queen.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.